You are tuned to listener-sponsored, commercial-free radio WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM, WBAI.org. On the web, it's 12 noon. Coming up next, The Gary Null Show.
From New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and it's always nice to have you with us. Today, we're going to learn about how polyphenols counter inflammation in women on hormonal contraceptives. Now, supplements containing a mixture of polyphenols may counter increases in pro-inflammatory markers in women of childbearing age using combined hormonal contraceptives. The supplements formulated with resveratrol, catechin, that's C-A-T-E-C-H-I-N, quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N, and also chlorogenic acid and is found to prevent the increase in markers of oxidative stress, and that's important. So if you want to turn off inflammation and you want to do it naturally, just use the polyphenols. And on a program coming up, I'm going to spend about a half hour going over all the foods that you should be consuming in a given week, the different types of food, and why they're so important to helping you keep the inflammation down and your blood thinned naturally, so you're less likely to clot, etc. I found this a particularly interesting study. It's from the University of Texas, the Center for Brain Health, and it talked about the power of kindness in improving your brain health. Now, we didn't need a study to show that when you're kind and you just have a kind nature, people feel a special association with you. I know growing up, all the people that I met who were kind never forgot them. All the people that were mean-spirited or indifferent or cold never forgot them either. But kindness is powerful, and it does not just affect the recipient's feelings. Kindness can also impact an entire family's brain health. A cross-disciplinary team of researchers and clinicians from the Center for Brain Health at the University of Texas at Dallas sought to understand whether kindness training improves preschool's pro-social behavior and their parents' resilience during the COVID pandemic. And the answer was yes. So when you have people in a family who by and large are just, they're good-natured, no matter what the crisis, they find positive ways of dealing with it. They're always optimistic. They're happy. They're kind, not just to each other, but to strangers. The first always jump in and help when there's a crisis. Helps your brain as well. One more reason to make sure you're getting your omega-3 supplements every day. According to the University of California, Los Angeles study, it can help with MCI. Now, MCI, a lot of people suffer from it, but 2,000 milligrams, that's generally three capsules of the omega-3 fatty acids with mixed botanicals, could have a significant immune and biochemical effects in people who have what is called MCI, minor cognitive impairment. And we're seeing that more in people who are young, not just the old, in people who are lonely, people frequently work alone from home or homebound. The pilot study published in the FASEB journal investigated the immune and pro and anti-inflammatory effects of nutritional supplementation, and that combines high levels of omega-3 fatty acids, DHA and EPA, with a mixture of vitamins like vitamin C and E and D, etc. and resveratrol, and it had a really important effect. So for all ages, if you have any form of cognitive problem, make sure you get your omega-3 fatty acids. Also, from Imperial College London comes a study about magic mushroom compound increases brain connectivity in people with depression. So this particular psychedelic compound found in magic mushrooms helps to open up depressed people's brains, and even after use, enabling brain regions to talk more freely to one another. These are the findings of a new analysis of brain scans from close to 60 people receiving treatment for depression, led by the Imperial College London Center for Psychedelic Research. So, showing that maybe the hippies of the 1960s and 70s were onto something in those altered states. Also, once again, exercise is important. Regular cycling helps patients with accelerated aging disease, from McMaster's University. A study by McMaster's University researchers found that regular cycling can greatly improve mobility in patients with what is called myotonic dystrophy, or MD. It's a genetic disease that causes muscle degeneration. And they say 35 minutes of cycling three times a week for 12 weeks led to a 32% increase in overall fitness in people with the disease. And that is important. So, one more condition that benefits from exercise, as most do. One more thing on health. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to be doing a little more in-depth on which specific foods are important and why. Why should you eat kale or kohlrabi or turnips? So we're going to give you a whole rundown of the best foods to eat, the reasons why, how much to consume, and on what type of regular basis. That'll be tomorrow with a classroom on the air about nutrition. We're going to take a break now. And when we come back from the break, we have a lot to get into. But the first thing we're going to get into is, okay, we have a lot to be concerned about. I dealt with a lot of this yesterday. But also, it's good to know that there are people in every country that is oppressive, draconian measures, who have found some way to satirize their predicament and yet be completely honest in what they're saying. In Australia, there's a group that are just really good. So when we come back, we're going right into what the Australian government is doing about problems. It's pure satire, but it's also true. Thank you for being here today. Share the information. We'll be back in a moment.
From the Australian Government. We know these devastating floods have been hard for you, but they've been hard for us too. They've happened on the eve of an election, and since we've abandoned, betrayed, burned, drowned, or pissed off just about every living thing on this continent, we can't even resort to handshakes, cosplay, and photo ops anymore. Top Gun. In our defense, though, nobody could have seen this coming. I mean, sure, we were briefed about a severe risk of flooding and storms just a few months ago in a report which we only released when forced to under a Freedom of Information request. And sure, scientists have warned that for each degree of warming, our atmosphere can hold 7% more water, which our own science agency told us would cause more intense flooding, as did the bomb here, the IPCC here and here, and more scientists here. But apart from all the warnings we ignored and suppressed, nobody could have seen this coming. Anywho, now that we've seen it, rest assured we'll still go ahead and tap into the Beetaloo, Narrabri and Scarborough gas fields, which will ensure the next floods and fires will be even worse. Of course, if Putin had caused this damage, we'd impose sanctions on him. But since it was mainly caused by our donors, we'll just give them some grants to help them keep doing it. What's that? You thought our job was to keep you safe? Oh, sweetheart. Our actual job is to keep them safe from you. That's why, whenever a climate disaster like this takes place, we send out our big sack of in chief to the disaster area to take the heat for them and maybe pose for a photo op. Country Road. It's all part of our get and used to it policy for dealing with climate disasters. Homes underwater, homes on fire, homes underwater and on fire. No problem. Try get f***ing used to it. Because we just have to accept that Australia's becoming a harder country to live in. For you, that is. Not for these guys who get billions of dollars in subsidies from us and live here tax-free. But if you, who does pay tax, needs to be rescued from your sinking home, we'll tell you it's your fault for building your house in the way of Chevron's trail of destruction. Some say we should introduce a levy on fossil fuel exports to make the bastards start paying for the damage they cause. But why do that when Dutto can just set up a GoFundMe and make you chip in for the costs? Go f*** yourselves. So, as things fall apart, and let's be clear, these floods are just the beginning. You might want to start organizing your own communities, because you're on your own. We'll be counting the interest on the unspent disaster recovery fund while you crowdfund choppers and rescue each other in tinnies. Or you could kick us out at the coming election and get a government that isn't captured by fossil fuel interests and who won't abandon and gaslight you as we head deeper into the climate crisis. Australian government, we'll literally get you all killed if you re-elect us in May. Authorised by the Department for Thoughts and Prayers.
Wouldn't it be nice to have people saying that about our government, and every single politician. I think every politician should have a profile showing what they actually voted for and against, where all their funding comes from, and then the thought. It's just a suggestion. Maybe have our politicians wear designer suits and dresses and pantsuits that we, the public, would pay for. However, on that suit would be every emblem of people they've taken money from, much like NASCAR drivers. You know, they have their cars, the soles of their shoes, every place you could put an ad to show that, you know, these people were for sale. And here are the people who spent the most money to buy them. And by the way, do the same thing for universities, where they get their money, how worthless 99% of all the research in universities is. It's just worthless. It's junk. And almost everything we do is junk when we're in a corporatized environment. By the way, for those of you who are thinking about the environment, and I know people in this audience have been thinking about the environment because I get a lot of mail, people, what should I do? I'm trying this, that, and the other. First thing is, we're not going to be able to succeed. Now, that's not necessarily a negative, because I'm looking at the positive side of this. With all the publicity and all the Greta Thunberg, you know, and by the way, everything she said is actually true. But her motives for saying, her parents' motives, all the people around her, branding her as a name, all the money being gained. And then along comes someone who pops the bubble by showing a car of all the junk food in it, all the plastic in it. When she was attending a lecture inside, he was filming outside, and then how she has this photo op sitting on a floor in a train, but then showing her first-class compartment with all the junk in it, and how she's so conscientious. She sailed here to America in a sailboat. Well, a rowboat, maybe, where she was doing the oars. No. You know, I think it was a $6 million yacht, and those yachts don't sail just on the sails and the wind currents. No. They're also powered and cause a lot of pollution, far more than had she flown in a plane. But look, it all looks good in the PR campaign, and we don't like to dig too deep in any of this. But here's the bottom line to everything. I mean everything. And this is something I'm acutely familiar with because I've written one of the most definitive books ever written, Clearer, Cleaner, Safer, Greener, 30, 40 years ago, clear back at the beginning of Earth Day. And it was a monster hit then and sustained for years and years. But then I did a newer one, Saving the Planet One Bite at a Time, and I've done 7 documentaries on the environment, lots of other things. So it's not as if I'm a casual outside observer who has no real knowledge. And I grafted everything, meaning I put everything on a graph sheet, and then I said, which are the most important things to deal with? Well, global warming, acidification of our lakes, because of the acidification of the air from pollutants, mainly out of different steel mills, coal-fired generators, etc., the bleaching of the coral reefs, which destroy billions of aquatic life that live on the coral reef and need that coral reef to be healthy because it's the food that they eat, and then the other fish eat them, etc. That's the plastic in the oceans. And by the way, there's so much plastic in the ocean, it would be very difficult for you anywhere on the planet to take a bucket, dip it in the water, pull it up, and not find some form of microplastic in there. Then you also look at the methane gases now being released as the world warms. So too does the tundra. So too does the boreal forest areas and the whole area surrounding the Arctic, including the gigantic Siberian peninsulas up against the ocean. All that's warming. And when it warms, no longer is that frozen for the last 12,000 years. So trapped inside is all this decaying peat moss. And it begins to, in other microorganisms, and it begins to release a huge amount of methane. I mean, it's just almost unimaginable how much methane is being released. So that's causing the warming. And in fact, the greatest shift in warming in the last 2 years has been in the Arctic and Antarctic. If the rest of the planet warmed at the same percentage of increase, like 6 to 7 degrees, the planet would not be habitable. Nothing would grow. So it's happening, but that will happen slower. But everything now is in chaos. So when I looked at over 112 different problems with the environment, I could not find a single problem being addressed. Not one. If you think you can find a problem that's been adequately addressed by a nation, state, a government, let me know about it. What we have is we have platitudes. You know, the Barack Obama president, platitudes. Just make a platitude and everything will be great. Because the people who are making the money are the people who are creating a new kind of green economy. Now, Wall Street, one of its biggest money makers, is buying up land for their uses, not for yours and not for nature. Take a look at all the companies that are logging in the Amazon, knowing full well that's the lungs of the planet. And that will cause an enormous amount of desertification in the area, but also cause a loss of the water vapor that spreads out and brings rain to different parts of the country, and in fact, the world. The desertification is increasing. But instead of saying maybe we should speak intelligently with the people, give them facts, and when we still have time, make appropriate moves away from the coasts, out of states that are not sustainable. Maybe we should do something as simple as stop buying everything. Stop buying into the idea that a solar is the answer. Not today, I don't have time, but tomorrow I'm going to show you what goes into making a solar panel, what goes into making wind turbines. That wind turbine can never stay functional long enough, even with a 20-year lifespan, to offset the carbon footprint that is created in making it. So just imagine this. Imagine that we're told solar is the answer, and indeed solar could help if we had inexpensive batteries, new technologies, but we don't. So on the one hand, those in the Hollywood elite are having parties and telling people to invest in this solar company and that solar company, all these startups. But not once do any of those individuals ever go to Africa, where all the minerals for that are mined and frequently at slave labor. There's just such a lack of connection. So right now, we are not reducing our consumption of meat. We're not reducing our consumption of plastic materials. We're not reducing our lifestyle in any way. We're not doing anything to stop all this. To the contrary, all the science, every scientist in the world will tell you this if they are honest. In the last 5 years, every single year, we have increased the carbon dioxide levels, not decreased them. So, you got two realities. One is, let's talk a good game but do nothing. And the other is, let's actually do something, starting with the individuals and other individuals. Stop buying stuff you don't need. Start your own gardens. Grow locally. Work together cooperatively. That's starting in small, small, insignificant ways. Far too little and too late to make a difference. So right now, the planet will survive, but a lot of people will no longer have the quality of life where they have been, and this is at a huge, huge disconnect. So let's just keep in denial. If you're the average person, the average person in the media, don't write the article that will tell you this, but Grist wrote an article. Here it is, today. Methane emissions soar to highest level ever recorded. Uncontrolled gas leaks and flaring are pushing the planet towards catastrophe. Methane emissions rose by a record amount last year, making the biggest jump since the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration began monitoring them 40 years ago. Carbon dioxide emissions also climbed to a historically high rate for the 10th straight year. The new numbers come on the heels of the latest report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, in which scientists warned that the world is on track for catastrophic warming, with fossil fuel emissions driving an almost inevitable breakdown of some of the Earth's life support systems. Again, breakdown of the Earth's life support systems. So if you're not where there's life support in the environment itself, then you're not going to have a future where you're living. And it's not like going to happen in 30 years. We've got time. It's happening as we speak. Quote, our data show that global emissions continue to move in the wrong direction at a rapid pace. That's the administrator of NOAA. The evidence is consistent, alarming, and undeniable. Yeah, methane, a potent greenhouse gas, leaks out of oil wells, gas pipes, vents from rotting food in landfills, and escapes from cows and their burps, manure. It's one of the main drivers of climate change, responsible for 30% of warming since pre-industrial times, second only to carbon dioxide. And while methane doesn't linger in the atmosphere as long as carbon dioxide, it's much more powerful at heating the planet in the short term. That makes cutting methane emissions a high priority. But as the new data from NOAA show, the world is heading in the wrong direction. Atmospheric levels of methane jumped 17 parts per billion in 2021, beating the previous record of 2020. This surge is happening just as methane is getting more recognition as a problem that requires urgent action. Okay, so you have all these countries, 100 countries in the world, who've joined the Global Methane Pledge. It means nothing. Nothing. Because unless China and Russia and India and Brazil and the United States are all working together, and that means you would have to change everyone's buying habits, eating habits, comfort habits. That's never going to happen. We're too damn lazy, and we're too indifferent. We're not stupid. We just act stupid. So right now, there is no good news about the future. We're screwed. But not everybody will suffer in the same ways. They said that we had 12 years, 3 years ago. Realistically, you're going to see every year more and more catastrophic problems. And keep in mind, this didn't have to happen. But that's what human nature has become today. So I'd like your feedback on this. Knowing that if we do not change, large sections of the world will no longer be habitable. The temperature will be too hot, and that's the entire northern Africa and southern Africa. That is also including all of the Middle East, every country from Jordan and Bahrain and United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, all of that, Saudi Arabia, all of that. When you have a double negative, when you have the soil so hot, nothing will grow, And then you have, on top of that, you have the desertification. So the desert takes everything back. But you don't have the resources per country to help people relocate and help to use technologies we do have that would help people at least stay within a given region, especially those that are on water and could do desalinization, though that in itself is an enormous energy factor that creates its own carbon footprint, so it's a double negative. You don't want to move, but you're using up resources. Like, for example, in Qatar, it's a very rich, very tiny country, and its average population, I believe, last time I checked, was the most wealthiest population, entire population, of any country in the world, like $175,000 a year per person. But it also is one of the hottest in the world, so it uses a huge amount of energy, which it can afford, for air conditioning. But all that air conditioning creates more carbon dioxide, and that means heating even more. So because you can afford to be in a place doesn't mean you should be in a place if it's not sustainable. But that would mean you would actually have to have an insight, a compassion for all life, and therefore look at what you have to do. So this is a very complex problem, but it's really simple. Become involved personally. It's so easy to go to an environmental conference and see people who will talk it, they won't walk it. In fact, I don't go to these conferences. Last time I went to a conference on the environment, I was invited to be the keynote speaker at the United Nations on Equinox. And here was a whole auditorium filled with environmentalists. And I read them the Riot Act. It was not a speech. I did it spontaneously. I had something else prepared. But then I just asked a question. How many people in this room are in foundations, environmental foundations, where you receive millions, even hundreds of millions of dollars a year, and yet what have you actually done? Show me something you've actually done. Show me. I want to see it. Tell me where it's at. I'll go to it. Because you haven't done diddly squat. And I just let it rip. Now, you can download that speech. In fact, Rodney, would you download my UN speech and post it so people can watch it? It was about 27 minutes. I talked about how they took money from polluters, major polluters, and therefore never discussed that pollution at any of their meetings, ever. So major polluters used their profits, which are tax deductible, to buy silence and co-opted so much of the environmental movement. Anyhow, environmental degradation is real, but also is our apathy, our hubris, our indifference. So if you want to see the environmental movement come along and save you, ain't going to happen. You're going to have to save yourself if you care enough about yourself. But don't be one of those people who wait, like with Katrina, and you see it coming and you see it coming and you see it coming. But hey, that's on television. And then we're watching you up on your roof plead for help. You could have moved. You could have taken a bus. You could have walked out of harm's way. Very few people did. As a result, over 2,000 unfortunately died. I was down there and inspected it. Horror scene. And what's changed? How about nothing? I've been down there, and again, I think 7 inches added to the wall for billions of dollars. No, it's the wrong place. So just ask yourself, remember the 5 principles I talked about on Saturday? Are you in the right place at the right time with the right support system, with the right idea, and are you the right person? If that happens, you'll become very environmentally conscious. If not, you won't. Also, I'm not going to do anything on Ukraine today because we did a lot yesterday. But I do want you to know that that you're being lied to on so many accounts. Here's one thing that isn't a lie. This is from Jessica Corbett, Common Dreams. Quote, drop in life expectancy speaks volumes about how U.S. handled COVID, expert. Not only did individuals not handle it, but also the government mishandled it, and we're seeing that now. But there's something else that's happening. There's a lot we're just now finding out about that we didn't know at the beginning. Had you known everything at the beginning that we know now, all of your approaches would have been different. Rodney, let's get Dr. McCullough's speech up, because this is a little tricky. He's talking about the phenomena of what happens with the transcriptase, where the RNA becomes embedded in the DNA and it cannot get out. So you can have this going on for the rest of your life, and there's no way to detoxify from this. This is not like a normal vaccine where you can overcome a lot of the problems. I want you to hear what he has to say, because this, if this pans out, and it's going to take other studies, it's going to take more in-depth analysis, but we're seeing that now with everything. You know, remember when I broke it on this show that be careful because the vaccine allows shedding and people didn't care? Well, it allowed shedding. So you can be asymptomatic and spread it. That's what happened. And that they're giving the PCR test at too high a repetition, so it's worthless. CDC reversed itself and got rid of that PCR test in December 31st. Well, what about the hundreds of millions of tests you took before then? And then label people as cases, putting fear into them. Well, they didn't apologize. So I want you to hear what Dr. McCullough has to say on something you're going to hear more about in the future. Just like the athletes. By the way, Rodney, get the clip that I just sent you, that we're now seeing 741 23-year-olds, average age, top athletes, not just regular people. I mean, these are competitive athletes in soccer dropping dead and having heart attacks after they took the vaccine. Where before, you wouldn't see any of this. When was the last time you saw a 23-year-old soccer champion die of a heart attack? Even in the Miami tennis just last week, a lot of them, I think 35% had to drop out because they got the vaccine. They couldn't go on. They had gross fatigue, headaches, dizziness, etc. So now we're finding out the side effects that we were told. Remember the New York Times? Safe and effective. Well, they weren't. Let's go to Dr. McCullough's clip now.
Marcus Alden and colleagues from Malmo, Sweden, demonstrated that the Pfizer vaccine reverse transcribes through an enzyme called line 1. That means DNA is made from the Pfizer RNA code and then is installed into the human genome, or is at least found in chromatin about 6 hours after injection. Now, this was using a human hepatoma cell line, so they had to get the right cell line. They had to get the right conditions. But the CDC has always said, don't worry, these vaccines don't alter human DNA. This is the first paper to show that at least the middle 444 base pair clearly is in human DNA. And many experts believe if the middle part of the code gets in it, then the full length of the code must reverse transcribe. If this is true, if this paper is true, this has massive implications. Now, it's going to have to be validated. It's going to have to be a lot of additional work. But if this is true, this means people who have taken the vaccine now actually have a permanent alteration in their genes, that they themselves have the code for this dangerous Wuhan spike protein that was altered in the lab in China, that they themselves, years later, could potentially produce the spike protein either on a chronic low level to cause disease or on an inducible level, and that means in the setting of a stress, produce a lot of it, and then create spike protein disease in the body, which I'll tell you, clearly the spike protein causes disease. But this is far and away the most worrisome paper that's been published since the release of the vaccines. And if it's true, we could be in real trouble, because parent cells would pass it on to daughter cells. That means gametocytes, that is sperm and egg, will contain some of this and pass it down to the baby. And we'll never be able to get this spike protein out of the human species. This is an extremely, extremely important development. A student in a lab in Sweden was the first one to show it, and we are anxiously awaiting lots of confirmation. Many groups now are working on confirmation.
You heard it first here, but all the things we put on the air are carefully scrutinized. A lot of research goes into it. And I'm very concerned. I told you about autoimmune epidemics occurring. Well, we're seeing that now. And this is just the beginning. Remember, I said it won't be till 5 years from now till we see the real effects of all the people who've taken the vaccine. Well, by the way, also prepare for a lot of shortages. This is just out today. Walgreens starts rationing baby formulas as supply chain crunch hits new parents. 29% of the top-selling formulas are out of stock at stores across the country. You're going to see that with all kinds of things, and it'll get a lot worse. Therefore, the whole idea is become more self-sufficient, try to get off the grid, try to work with other people, working together, even with the mention I had of intentional communities, including food-growing intentional communities, crafts intentional communities, artists intentional communities. But all of them have something in common, working together towards a common goal where a person is able to use their talents and skills in a meaningful way around other people. And that's a very positive thing. There are 1,500 of these intentional communities around the United States. This is what I did my three-hour lecture on Saturday, and the whole lecture is free. It's a public service up on GaryNall.com. And we're going to go to a clip right now because one of the things they're doing is they're doing all they can to control the currency and get rid of cash. Why? Because right now, if you have cash, you can buy whatever you want. And you can use it, you can not buy it, but it's yours if you have the money to buy. They don't want that. They want you to have no control over any aspect of your life. Seems extreme? No, it's not. You've heard them say this repeatedly in their own words. I've played at least 50 of these clips, and they're bold about it. They're not hiding it anymore. So it's not a conspiracy theory. It's real. But what would it mean if you just had a card and you could only get the card if you get vaccinated? They're going to really pound that across the United States and around the world. And you know it's a concerted effort because at least 100 countries are doing the same identical thing, using the same language, demanding the cards. Because once you have your vaccine card, your vaccine passport, everything else will be included on there. In fact, this is a person you're going to hear right now. She is an expert, one of the smartest people on the planet when it comes to telling us what's wrong. This is a interview that she did in Ireland. Her name is Melissa. Listen to what she has to say. She is accurate in what she has to say, and it really is informative. I'm going to let the whole clip play 17 minutes because I really want you to get an in-depth understanding of how they're pushing at every level. Well, you know, if you have this card, then you don't need any other credit card. You don't need cash. Okay. Why? Well, think of the interest you would save, they will say. Think of the convenience. You can be at home and buy anything you want, anywhere. And how's it paid for? Well, you'll have credits on your card. Can I buy anything I want? Yes. Wrong. We've already seen the actual legislation where they will control what you buy, how much you buy, what you take. Remember, everything about you then is on that card. Everything. Every conversation you're going to have in a car, they're going to record. Everything you do in your home, they're going to know about. So understand the concept. It's happening now as we speak. In fact, Bill Gates is investing in a so-called smart city where everything will be on the Internet of all things with cameras and electronic monitoring, all smart meters, everything in that community. So people think freedom is not a big deal. It is when you no longer can enjoy it. Freedom of speech is important until you say the wrong thing. And then they, the authorities, their handlers, the deep state, their sycophants, the media, and the experts, then say, you can't say that. That's hate speech. What is hate? Well, you criticized the government, you criticize the corporation, you criticize. So now you can't criticize. Remember, all that is going to be attached to this card. Everything is going to be attached. They're putting all their emphasis on this. And I'm willing to bet at least a half of the United States population will fight it. Other countries, not so much. But we're not going to allow this to occur without pushing back. Let's listen to the tape now.
They're not vaccine passports. They are data passports. They are participation passports. But they are. There's no medical reason behind these. If I had come to you 2 years ago and said, here's what the government want to do. They want to give everybody a chip. They want to put all your medical data and all your financial data onto that chip. That will be your complete ID, and they can control you or shut you out of society from that. Ideally, they'd like to put a quantum tattoo so that they can remotely medicate you. That sounds absolutely insane. That's the road that we are going down right now. This is about a financial reset because the fiat currency has failed like every other one has before. And in order to keep the game going, they need a new financial system. This is why everybody, no exceptions, has to get one of these passports. This is why there's a drive to get absolutely everybody vaccinated. It's for the new system.
So what's this all been about then in terms of, you know, when they're calling it COVID and, you know, they're saying it's to keep people safe, etc. So has it had nothing to do with that at all?
Nobody seems to be asking why. If you ask somebody, if you stand outside one of these bars and say, why are you using this passport? Nobody has an answer for why. It's certainly not a medical decision. If it doesn't stop you from getting it, doesn't stop you from passing it on. That has been, the CDC have come out with that, Bill Gates have come out with that, Fauci has come out with that, Boris Johnson have come out, they've all come out and announced that. This clinical trial is nothing more than a treatment to reduce symptoms. At best, that's what it has the potential to do. So why would you need a passport to get into somewhere? You would think that that would be linked to transmission, so that if taking part in this clinical trial stopped transmission, then there would be a logic behind that. But there's absolutely no data to support that. It's not about anything medical. This is an economic decision, not a medical decision.
Why do they have to reset? Like, what's been going on behind the scenes, or, you know, in the last, well, I know we had a crash in 2008, mm-hmm. So has it been since then? Is this what this is about?
From 1971, we have been on a debt base. That's when the dollar came off. The dollar being the reserve currency came off the gold standard. We entered into a debt-based economy. That has collapsed under its own weight. In 2019, September, there was a crisis in the repo market. It got more and more difficult. That could have been manipulated. There was liquidity pulled out, but that's a different story.
So it's an interesting timing, though, isn't it? I mean, September 2019, and then the next thing we know.
Yeah, you had the Bill Gates event 201 after that. This is a banking crisis. Every fiat currency in history, and there have been thousands, have returned to zero. This is where we are. With the pound and the dollar have already lost over 99%. Of their value. They're just going to eradicate the other 1%. This is why the money is being printed. The money is being printed so that the central banks can give it out to the hedge fund companies, asset management firms. They're buying up all the actual assets while we are being paid to stay at home and say nothing.
So the central bank, because what I've heard about obviously is the central bank digital currency. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between that then and a fiat currency? Like, if this is another reset, is it going to be the same story or is this going to be different?
The central bank digital currency is the end game.
Okay.
Along with totalitarian control. In order to bring in a central bank digital currency, you need a digital ID. In order to bring in a digital ID, you need these passports. That will all be combined with a social credit system and a carbon credits system. Central bank digital currency has all the good aspects of a fiat currency for the government and nothing of what is good for us. The only benefit we have of a fiat currency is basically it's backed by nothing. It's a currency because the government say it is so. What we gain from that is privacy. That's what we are going to lose when we move into a central bank digital currency, and they're going to have complete control over every aspect of our finances. They can dictate where in the economy that you can spend it. They can say that you can only spend it in essential goods or on rent. They can fine you at will. They have complete control over every aspect of your finances. Now, when you link that into a social credits concept, they can sanction you or reward you. This has already been trialled in, I think, a province in northern China, where you go from a AAA rating down to a D rating. AAA, you get preference for jobs, your children get preference for schooling. D, they can take your qualifications off you.
They can take your qualifications.
They can take your qualifications.
So they can literally say no. We can just dismiss anything you've actually achieved in your life.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
How close are we to this?
We are very close to this because of compliance. Everybody has to buy into this. We have watched them move down the propaganda, move down the demographic. This started off with protect the vulnerable. Then it went down the age groups, pregnant women. Now it's children. Everybody, without exception, has to buy into this. This is the new financial system.
Why do they need children? Children are earning, they're not, you know. So right now, why are they after them right now?
Well, they need to condition them, and they still need to be part. Right now, children would still need to be part of the financial system. They also need the data from the children. We are moving into AI technology. Mm-hmm. Data is the new gold. Energy is the new currency. Data is the new gold. With the children, they have them from a young age. They can track their behaviours. AI is only as good as the information that goes into it. So if you are gathering all this data from the children, you can program AI. Under the Obama administration, this last day in office, there was a paper that backed up by MIT that 83% of all jobs earning $20 or less will be automated away by 2030. The future is AI. They need the data.
So that's a tremendous
this.
Number of people, surely.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to happen to them?
Universal basic income.
So they will be sitting at home getting a basic wage, but they won't be able to actually participate then? Is that what you're saying?
Kind of in
terms of production, in terms of actually leading production?
They won't be needed. They will not be needed. With the way technology is going, they're expected not to be needed.
Okay, so this sounds absolutely terrifying and complete doom and gloom. Is it inevitable? Are we absolutely going to end up where these people who are organising this actually want us to go?
If we continue to comply, yes. The target is small to medium businesses because they account for 60% of all jobs, and the target is the children. I don't know why anybody would let their child take part in this clinical trial there. Of virtually no risk. There's more risk of them drowning. Even if it was 100% safe and there was long-term data done, why would you let your child participate? There is a push right now, as I say, it's moved down the demographic. The push is now for children. I know in the north, it's only just the vaccination for children only just started. Already 25%, just over 25% of 12 to 15-year-olds have taken part. 56% of children aged 16 to 17 have taken part. They have to get them into the system. So in order for this new financial system, it's in order to participate in society right now, we have to have these passports. So how can they logically exclude children? How can children go to restaurants? And this is the coercion that they're going to use to get the children. The same coercion that they use for us. Mm-hmm. They're saying that if they want to go to teen discos, they're doing the exact same thing with children. They are going after the children right now. And I think for anybody who did take part, they were lied to about that it protected others. There is absolutely no...
Well, and also that it was safe.
Because there was no... It's short-term studies... they could maybe say that it was safe, but they were told that it would save others. It doesn't. It doesn't do, it's really, it's a selfish act to take. It doesn't do anything for anybody else. So if they were told from the beginning that doesn't, you're not really, at best it's treatment to reduce symptoms, you're not covered for the first 2 weeks, but you're not really covered until you get the second one, and it wanes after 6 months, so you're actually only covered for 4 months. This is the information we know right now.
Yeah.
Why would you be getting your children it? If you know that at best it only protects you for 4 months, why would you be getting your children? It's simple. You are, let's be real, parents. It's so that your children can participate in society. That is the only reason that you are taking them in and getting them it. You're taking a risk so that your children could participate in society. We have to have these passports to participate in society. The next move is that we have to have a central bank digital currency wallet in order to participate in the financial society.
So what do we do? What does the ordinary person in the street do? What does a small business owner do? What we need some solutions here, because obviously that is pretty dystopian.
For a small to medium business owner, what they need to do is absolutely do not comply. Their threat is unlawful fines. Their business will be gone anyway. They're under attack. These businesses have to be eradicated in order for the new system to come into place, because they need you dependent on the state for social credits, the carbon.
So you're saying that even if they do comply now, essentially they're going to try and find another way to squeeze them out?
Well, they have reduced their footfall. It started with nobody could participate in society. Then it was, if you comply, you can participate in society. Then it's going to be, if you adopt central bank digital currency, you can participate in society. And then it's going to be social and carbon credits. So for these businesses, they could just...
Okay. Now, let me just summarize this quickly. Listen carefully to what she had said, that everything about your life will be on these cards. But also, that's running parallel with transhumanism, which is supported by Elon Musk and a lot of other people, Bill Gates, thousands of corporations in Silicon Valley and their employees are supporting transhumanism. And they'll put a good face on it, but understand something. The moment they put new DNA in your body, they can control what that DNA is about. And unfortunately, it's not good, because they're going to allow artificial intelligence to program itself, assuming that it will be safe. Right now, there's a push to allow artificial intelligence to do your prescriptions for you. So there is no way you can control artificial intelligence that can control itself. So what if one day they don't like the human race? They could eradicate it. They could detonate nuclear bombs. Remember, you're talking about an intelligence that is beyond anything we've ever had in human history. And they see it as benevolent. I don't. Also, let's just say that one day you want to take a trip, and they say, nope, you've reached your carbon limit, because on the card, every single person will have a carbon limit. What you can do, where you can go. But let's say you want to have a conversation. They're going to record every conversation, every meeting you have. There'll be millions upon millions of these cameras that they have already, millions of cameras. I think I heard 200 million cameras or 20 million cameras throughout China. And they're everywhere. Well, now there will be this facial recognition, but also voice recognition, and it'll be given a score. So if you say something that's critical, then they can reduce your score. And as you heard what they can say, that you no longer have any redemption, so we're giving you a zero value. They can literally erase your history. You no longer exist. That's what they are doing currently in China. That's why they have such a high obedience level. That's why the irony of it is the government has total control in Shanghai, one of the largest cities in all of China, and historically a very prosperous city. And yet, did you see the footage of thousands of people screaming out their windows the other night, two nights ago, because they're starving to death in their apartments? Government won't let them out. thousands of people starving to death, so not a single person dies of COVID. That's the kind of warped, perverse, disgusting mindset of the Chinese Communist Party leaders. So, want to see what it's like to be 100% obedient? Then understand that that only comes when you're 100% observant of the rules and you obey all the rules.
For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns with some brief news headlines. The White House is expected to reveal plans today to increase the availability of gasoline with higher biofuel content in an effort to blunt increasing fuel costs and reduce dependence on foreign energy. The measure will keep certain high ethanol gasoline blends on the market through the summer when fuel costs typically rise. The high ethanol blend had previously been banned during the summer over fears that it produces more smog than other blends. The impact of the measure on prices will likely be small, as the high ethanol blend is only 10 cents cheaper than normal gasoline and is less energy dense, meaning consumers would need to buy more. Today's announcement comes after President Biden said last month that beginning in May, the U.S. will sell 1 million barrels of crude oil each day from its Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the largest stockpile release since its creation in the 1970s. In March, the U.S. government recorded the largest year-on-year price inflation since 1981, driven largely by increases in energy costs. Month-to-month, prices rose 1.2% in March, following a 0.8% increase in February. The inflation was roughly in line with economist predictions and underscores the challenges facing the U.S. economy amid the continued coronavirus pandemic and a destabilizing war in Ukraine. Excluding volatile food and energy prices, the government reported a much smaller monthly inflation of around 0.3%, roughly three times the pre-pandemic average. Persistent inflation has driven the Federal Reserve to increase policy interest rates once already this year, and several more rate hikes are expected. The next Fed policy-setting meeting is set for early May. In local news, nurses at Howard University Hospital in Washington launched a one-day strike yesterday, following 9 months of negotiations that the union says have deadlocked. The D.C. Nurses Association, which represents nurses, pharmacists, and other healthcare workers at Howard, says the hospital has refused to address staffing shortages that persisted through the pandemic and has proposed pay cuts for healthcare workers. The one-day strike ended this morning at 7:30 a.m. A hospital spokesperson said in a statement that the labor action did not impact patient care. New York State's number two politician surrendered to authorities early this morning to face federal charges of bribery, fraud, and falsification of records in a campaign finance scheme. Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin is accused of directing state funds to a real estate investor in exchange for thousands of dollars in illegal campaign contributions towards an unsuccessful campaign for state comptroller last year. Authorities also say Benjamin engaged in a cover-up of the scheme by falsifying donation forms and providing false information on a background check. Benjamin will likely face significant pressure to resign from his position. But because he is already the Democratic Party's nominee for lieutenant governor, his name will remain on primary election ballots in June. And at least 10 people were shot and 16 injured today after a gunman opened fire in a New York City subway station. The shooter, who witnesses say was wearing a gas mask, has not yet been apprehended. Police say the shooter may have released a smoke grenade in the station. The shooting caused delays to several train lines running through Brooklyn, and several nearby schools were given a shelter-in-place order. Weather in Washington, D.C. right now is 73 degrees and mostly cloudy. In New York City, 59 degrees with fair skies. For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns. Thanks for listening.
Time now is 1 p.m. Stay tuned for Lennon Lopate at